Scatman's Avenue.
Hey.
Hey.
What'd you think?
About what?
Did you get my text?
Oh.
Everyone, welcome to another Did You Get My Text? I'm Patton Oswalt, and in a second, you're about to hear from
Meredith Salinger.
There you go. That's
I was
going to
interrupt
voice.
You, honey, on Ooh, that one. You said, I'm Patton Oswalt, and I was going to go, and I'm Meredith Salinger.
Well, it still worked out. It was delightful.
Hi.
It was delightful clumsiness that was great.
So you are in New York, and I am in Los Angeles,
yes.
And we are doing this via Zoom. It's very nice to see you. I feel like I haven't seen you at all.
Yeah, it really sucks being 3 hours ahead of someone, because when you're finishing your day
Tired.
And you just want to talk, but your call time the next day is 6 a.m., so you're like, it's 10 o'clock.
Let me just stop you right there. Mm-hmm. You have been occasionally like, hey, honey, I'm going to bed. Okay, I gotta go. I can't talk. I'm too tired. So that's how it's been.
Yeah.
But honestly, that's how you always are, really. Like, we really don't get the full convo. There hasn't been a full convo.
But I'm saying the 3 hour difference sucks, because you're just having dinner and I'm like, I need to start winding down. So we're at different speeds and it's annoying. And then sometimes when I wake up in the morning and I want to call you, but I gotta stop and go, wait, it's 5 o'clock her time. We can't talk now. I can't bother her. So, you know, it sucks.
I'll let you bother me.
All right.
Anyway, we've been texting each other all week. And
yes.
Truthfully, have literally not had a chance to discuss it, because you just say goodnight to me, and that's pretty much it.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. I'm tired. I'm an old man.
It's okay.
I want to sleep. Sleep is such a... Oh, it's such a luxury. It's fantastic. Okay. I have texted you a couple fangs, one of which is the guy... Who is the lighting technician on this project?
I saw you sent me a present day picture and a past picture.
He is this adorable grizzled old lighting guy. I think he still drums. He was also a post punk / new romantic drummer all through the 80s and 90s. But he has that real like working man look to him. Button up short sleeve shirt, just grizzled. He's a grizzled old dude with one of those great voices. You know that those great. Oh my god! I'll try to set these lights up. And I was hanging out with him yesterday, and his girlfriend said, "Oh, let me show you some." Because he was telling me stories about he apparently used to work at Danceteria in New York in the early 80s, and was telling me all these, you know, Danceteria stories about the people he encountered. And his girlfriend said, do you want to know what he looked like back then? Because I was still imagining this very gruff looking, you know, like, hey, get, you know, move this line back. You're too close to the stage. And she sent me the most like, he looks good, but he looks like the most new romantic goth punk dude. Youth, not dude, like a youth, like a willowy, fragile youth.
But he also kind of, the picture you sent also made him kind of look like that dude from The Cure. You know, like
yeah.
Back in the old days when he had like the eyeliner and
Well, there was definitely a Robert Smith, Morrissey, The Damned kind of vibe clearly in the air. And that's what he was going for. But yeah, oh my God.
But also with like a ruffled shirt.
With the ruffled shirt, with the earrings. And also just the pose, the way he holds himself in the picture has that.
You know what I think? Ricky Gervais, didn't he? Wasn't Ricky also like a young singer guy who like used to look like Flock of Seagulls or something?
Yes,
like that?
He was in a band called Sedona Dancing. And he was very much a new wave, just a pretty boy. He was a pretty boy. And I'm not saying that as a diss. He just was a pretty young lad.
He was like a really cute young, like boy band, cute boy.
Exactly. And this guy also, who, again, this is the kind of guy that you would think you would go into a bar and he would just like start a fight. But back then, oh no, he looked like he got kicked out of the Lost Boys for talking about his feelings too much. Like it was that one of those kind of guys. But then he was telling me all these amazing Danceteria stories, early 80s New York, late 70s New York. I can't get enough of how intense and crazy it was. I mean, I wouldn't have wanted to live through it, but I love hearing the stories. And my favorite one.
I love the idea of having this guy and being a. I wonder if his personality was the same back then.
Yeah.
Or if his personality changed into what he looks like now. Like, what was. Did he have a different personality? Because have you had your personality your whole life?
No.
Like, when you were 20,
no.
Were you this, like. What were you like?
I was way more. I was way angrier and way more overcompensating and insecure about how I was as a comedian and how I was as a person, and I just let stuff affect me. I'm going through that. I'm going through the same.
But I mean, like, same vibe. Like, you never were like suddenly like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like a whole different vibe. Like, his whole thing is a whole different vibe.
Right.
He went from cute young and ladies, I would say as well.
Yeah, I don't know about
like
whole
sarcastic.
Different. I always looked the same. I always kind of dressed and looked the same. I always dressed for comfort my whole life. That was always a, you know, I was going to dress for comfort. But, I mean, I didn't have this kind of, I wouldn't say that I'm like cynical or negative. There's just stuff that doesn't affect me the way that it used to. You get older and you just
right,
mellow
but that's
out.
That's just age in
you
general.
Mellow out. Again, there's a very famous quote by Bob Hope, and I realize I've been going through these stages in my life, which is when I was in my 20s, I worried what everyone thought about me. And then when I was in my 40s, I didn't care what people thought about me. And now that I'm in my 60s, I realize nobody was ever thinking about me. Like you have it's, to reach that final stage.
Right. Right. Everybody.
No one's thinking about me. Yeah.
I think you have to tell that to your children, too. Like, as your children are like, I don't know what... Yeah. I want her to like me and da-da-da. I'm like, she's not worried. She doesn't think your feelings.
Right.
She's just living her life. She's not trying to exclude you or include you. She's just be you. Just be happy and
right.
Stop being concerned with how it's going to look to somebody else.
But also, I like to reassure people who are in their 20s, like, by the way, don't fast forward to where I am approaching my 60s. You're supposed to be confused and wound up when you're in your 20s. Let yourself have that. That's part of your process. It's okay to be making mistakes in your 20s. I don't want to turn a bunch of 20-year-olds into jaded 60-year-olds, which I see a lot of Gen Xers and boomers are doing. Like, hey, you know what? I was out there doing drugs and having crazy sex, and you don't need to be doing that. No, they you got to get out of the way and let them do the same thing. Let them do the same thing, and then they will mellow out the same way that you did. So, you know, I see a lot of resentful older people that are resentful of 20-somethings and their youth, and they're like, if I could fast-forward them, then I wouldn't have to be jealous of them enjoying their youth because I can't anymore. I get that feeling a lot from people, and it really bothers me. So I go out of my way not to do that, you know?
Hmm.
But he told me this great story, and I'm obsessing about it because, again, imagining the way that he looked then, which is a new romantic kind of, you know, Robert Smith of The Cure, the roof of the Danceteria was this like open air, like VIP area, but the bathroom was still a floor down. If you had to use the bathroom, you had to go a floor down. And one night, David Lee Roth and his entourage came in. This is in the early 80s when he's just a god. And David Lee Roth just decided, well, I'm not going to go downstairs and use the restroom. I'm just going to pee off the side of this building. And so this guy, and he goes, several times I had to approach David Lee Roth and go, sir, you need to go downstairs. But he had to like kind of put up that front, like, you got to listen to me, except that he's dressed like, you know, someone from Dead or Alive. Like, how do you, you know, you're dressed like the You Spin Me Right Round guy, but you have to like kind of be a bouncer. That just something
right.
about that
again,
cracks me up.
It's not necessarily how you're dressed, but it's that energy. So if he still had that energy that he has now, and back then his it's just how you were dressing is different, but like your inner gruffness or whatever you are.
Maybe
still
I just feel like sometimes when you dress a certain way, it changes your personality. So I'm just trying to imagine.
Well, yeah, that's the Meisner technique, right?
Is it
Meisner?
I don't know, but I just
where like your wardrobe is it Meisner? Oh God! Oh no! Strasberg. Oh gosh.
Anyway, I'm just trying to imagine Robert Smith from The Cure as a bouncer, like trying to bring his Robert Smith energy to like, guys, we've got, you can't fight in here. If you do, I'm going to start crying. I mean, like, you've got to take this outside. Look, I don't want to, the last thing I want to do is break a pool cue over your head because you're drunk. So I've written a sad poem about how you've made me... Like, would he be an effective bouncer if he just depressed the crap out of everyone and then all the fighting stopped? Like, Robert Smith as a bouncer, that would be so hilarious for me. that energy, but
oh
as
God,
a bouncer.
I'd love to see.
Like, imagine Patrick Swayze's Roadhouse, except Morrissey is the lead. You know? By the way, I remember one time I was down in Atlanta doing a show, and there was a place, I don't know if it's still there, it's called The Vault. It's their goth club. And so it was early evening, but it's like the height of summer, so it's Atlanta hot. It was really, really sweaty, muggy, hot. Still 8 p.m., but 90 degrees out. And I'm just looking at this, and I'm not making fun of them. It's what they want to do, but there's real commitment to being all in black with the black eyeliner, and it's all running because everyone's sweating. So everyone's just in line crying black tears. Her makeup is all smeared.
Oh, then they look like Alice Cooper.
I guess, but everything was smearing. Alice Cooper is strategic smearing. This was all of it was like running off of them. It was so just these
gross,
sweaty, drippy. Yeah,
so
yeah, exactly. It was
disgusting. Horrifying.
Yeah. And also, I just kept imagining these. Think of like a goth mentality, but with a southern accent. There's something really hilarious about that to me, you know? Oh, you know, yeah, I just sometimes I get out here and it's like my soul is in a dark mirror, and it's just like, am I even alive? Like, what if everyone around me is dead and I just don't even know? You know that? Who knows? I mean,
oh my gosh, you know who you sound like? Leslie Jordan.
Oh God, I love Leslie Jordan. He should be.
I love that guy.
But like again, like literally, like the Cure music, but with a southern accent. You know. Look, I try to laugh about it, you know, cover it all up with lies. You know, I try to laugh. I just hide the tears in my eyes because you know what? Boys don't cry. They don't cry.
Oh,
and I don't do that. All right?
You are, oh my God, you can imitate him perfectly.
I wasn't trying to imitate Leslie Jordan, but I'll take it. That guy's great.
Oh my God, I love that guy.
Yeah.
Wait, I want to take a break and I want to come back with something. I sent you something.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And I want to.
Okay.
So let's go to a break and I'll be right back. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Everybody, welcome back. Patton and I just went off on a tangent of ridiculousness, and perhaps it's been added to the podcast. And
no, it should better not be.
Wait, baby.
Yes.
I texted you. Do you want to know why I texted you? I accidentally texted you the name Gary with an exclamation.
Yeah.
Like, Gary.
I was like, what?
Are you wondering why I texted you?
Very
that?
Much so. It was very cryptic.
Okay. Well, first of all, it wasn't intended for you. It was intended for my best friend who is now living in Australia.
Okay.
And for the past 5 years, mm-hmm. or even maybe more, it's probably been 10 years, she and I have been making a list of names.
Right.
And every now and then we will come up with a name that belongs on the list. So I sent you the name Gary because I got excited.
But what's the,
and so
what's the list?
Okay. So the list is, we were sitting together and we were talking about something, and we were talking about, like, as if one of your dearest friends or college roommates or somebody just had a baby, and you go and you see that person holding their baby and you say, oh my God, your baby's so cute. What's its name? And then the mom says, Diane, Linda. And you're like, Linda? Or like, what's your baby's name? Roger. Nobody names their babies that anymore.
Right, so right.
Nobody, like, how weird would it be to come up to someone and be like, oh my God, your baby's so cute. What's his name? Gary.
Right.
Nobody names their baby Gary. Have you ever met a baby named Gary?
No.
Now let me just make a caveat here.
All right.
My daddy's name is Gary, and I love him with all my heart, and he's totally Gary.
He looks like a Gary, but no baby looks like a Gary.
Right. No baby looks like a Gary.
So
I have a huge list.
But then how did Gary ever become a popular name if it doesn't pass the baby test? Were there people just going, he'll just grow into that name when he's in his 50s? But, you know, for now, he's just Baby Gary. Does that make sense?
Just Baby Gary.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find my list. The list is called, the list says, imagine a baby named blank.
Right.
Really picture someone seeing a woman holding a baby and go, oh, what's your baby's name? So these are some of the names we came up with. So these are the top girl names.
And they don't work for babies is what you're saying. These are.
I mean, what I'm saying is they don't work for babies.
Okay.
So you tell me, right. If you walked up to a friend and they're like, what's your baby's name? Joanne.
No.
Right?
That's not a baby
Carol.
Name. No.
Carol?
No.
Doreen?
No, although you could call her Dory or, you know, something like that, maybe. What else?
Marcy.
Marcy's kind of a cute baby.
Sally.
Name. What?
Well, Sally's kind of cute.
Sally's cute.
Anyway, we have Linda, Karen, Joanne, Carol, Diane, Joyce. Who names their baby Joyce? No, that's such
those
a
those are all terrible.
Name.
Yeah, those are terrible.
Joyce. What's your baby's name? Joyce.
Joyce. She works in human resources.
Donna, Valerie, Tanya, Rhonda, Lisa, Kathy, Jill, Connie, Pam, Arlene. Hey, what's your baby's name?
Arlene.
Nope. Sandra, Jennifer, Patricia.
She works for the county as a substitute teacher, Arlene.
Barbara.
No.
Nobody names their baby Barbara.
But little Babs Barbara. Is cute.
Yeah, but no one names their baby Barbara anymore.
That's true.
Helen.
Right.
Fern.
Fern.
Debbie.
Are there any Ferns
Debbie.
Left?
What's your baby's name? Debbie.
Nope. Deborah, Debbie, Deb.
We've got Janice and Margo and Marge and Mallory and Rory and Francine and Florence and Faye and Jessica and Sally and Brooke and Hillary and Beth.
Rory, Faye, and Brooke kind of work as baby names.
Nicole? What's your baby's name? Nicole. Honey, no.
All right.
Anyway, then my friends started getting into like the old names, like, you know, Beatrice and Mildred. Well, and I don't think those fit on the list because they're so old.
Right.
And Gladys. Like, those are old names. Edna, those kind of things.
Oh, so you're trying to anticipate what are the next names to start getting phased out?
No.
In the next generation,
what names would be so weird? Anyway, we made a man's list as well.
Oh, and what's on that list?
So, well, we've already said Gary and Roger.
Obviously.
Meanwhile, my dad and his best friend, Roger. So those are the, I immediately thought of them. Doug. What's your baby's name? Doug.
Douglas.
Mitch, Gabe, Barry, Lionel, Randy. Randy? Randy. No one names their baby Randy. He's not coming out straight out of the box as a surfer.
Baby Randy's kind of cute. Baby Randy sounds kind of cute to me. I don't know why.
He's a surfer.
You know what's a terrible baby name for a boy?
Martin. Harvey. Hey, what's your baby's name? Harvey.
Well.
Babe.
Yeah. Hey.
Carl.
Carl. Carl's kind of cute.
What's your baby's name? Carl.
You know what doesn't work?
Bob.
Alan.
Howard.
Alan.
Alan, you're right. Is Alan on my list?
What's your baby's name? Alan.
That's got to be Fletcher, Glenn, Wayne, Marcus. Well, Marcus is good, I guess.
Yeah, Marcus is cute. Baby Marcus.
Brian.
Brian is such a good, just solid, everyday
Clyde?
Name.
Clyde.
Clyde's kind of cute. I mean, Clyde's a very old name. That's one of those things. Who names your kid Clyde anymore?
Yeah, Jeremy? No.
Jeremy's cute for a little baby.
No, it is not.
Yeah, it is.
What's your baby's name? Jeremy.
Jeremy. Alan is not good.
Wait, how is Alan not on my... Oh, Alan's on my list.
Oh, there you go.
It's right there.
Okay.
Anyway, my point is, every now and then...
Right.
I will get a text with, like, exclamation points.
Right.
Like... Fred, you know, not Fred. Well, Fred, exclamation point, you know? But it's been like at the beginning, we've been doing this for 10 years. At the very beginning, we had so many. And then it's like every 3 months. And now it's every year. Like, well, because our list is pretty full. We've got some really good names.
Wow. So and
I can't imagine baby Patton, really.
No.
Patton.
Patton. No, that's not a,
it's pretty,
that's not a good baby.
But
name.
You, Alice and I were talking the other day about what other name you could possibly be. And we came up with the only other name you could be besides
what?
Patton.
What?
Walter.
Walter or Oscar.
Yeah, you could be an Oscar.
Yeah. My mom wanted to call me either Andy or Chris, and my dad was like, nope.
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 You are so not a... Well, you know, baby, you do fit in with the Chrises. There's the Hemsworth and the Evans and the...
I'm like... I'm the,
you could be one of the Chrises.
I'm the stuff that was
oh
left
God.
Over from all the Chrises, and then I'm like the little mini Chris. That's what I was.
You're like, it's like that. It's like that movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger and
Danny DeVito. Yeah.
Twins, where you're like the other Chris. It's like a litter of Chrises, and you're the
somebody
you're
suggested
the last Chris.
That they remake Twins with The Rock and me.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing. That would be the best movie ever. I would buy a ticket right now. Yeah. Take my money.
Take my money.
Take my money. Oh, my God. Please, let's do that.
Twins.
I want to do that.
Oh, Twins.
I was in a movie with The Rock.
Oh, that's right. Did you get to meet him?
The Rock. No.
Not even at the premiere?
I think I probably met him at the premiere. I honestly don't remember. It was so long ago.
I met him at the Moana premiere.
It was Escape to Witch Mountain. Wait, no. It was Race to Witch Mountain.
Yeah.
But when I was a little girl, do you remember Escape to Witch Mountain?
Oh, my God.
With Kim Richards and that other little boy in the star case.
And that movie had those weird cartoon dogs chasing him was so scary.
Yeah, it was like the Dobermans.
Yeah.
And they were taken by this rich guy, and they went up into his house, and there was like a bedroom for them with a carousel and candy.
Ray Milland was the guy that adopted them. The Long Weekend.
Yeah, but that's creepy,
but
right?
Then Eddie Albert saves them in his camper as Winnebago.
I love Eddie Albert.
It was awesome.
Anyway, they did like a, not a remake, but they did like another one called Race to Witch Mountain, and it was The Rock, and the director of it was a fan of Natty Gann, and we were talking, and so he wrote in a part for me. It's just this little cameo. It was sort of a nod to Disney, mm-hmm. and the name of the, I was a reporter, and he named it Natalie Gann. So I was like, hi, this is Natalie Gann reporting, da 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 da.
You were a Disney.
It was just very cute. It was sort of an,
You were a Disney Easter egg.
There were many little Disney Easter eggs in that movie.
And you were like one many. Of them. Wow, that's awesome.
And I was one of them.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was
awesome.
Very cute. I know, that was super fun.
Oh, that's so cute. Well, let's take another break, and then we'll come back with some more topics.
We're back. I just wanted to say one last thing. If you have a baby named Gary or Linda or Donna or Diane or Connie or Carol, can you please email us at heydidyougetmytext@gmail.com and please send me a picture of your baby. I want to see if your baby looks like one of those names. I think it'll be hilarious.
Basically,
but anyway,
email us and defend your horrible choice in naming your child is what we're saying.
Exactly.
Please.
Wait, I sent you a text. With my order from Krispy Kreme. Did you get that?
Yes, I did. Okay. Well, okay. And you sent it with this aggressively defensive, like, hey, I needed it. So, like you were preemptively defending yourself as if I was just going to.
Like as if you were opening up the bill, like the credit card bill, and you saw Krispy Kreme on the menu. Oh my God. Wait, before we get to the Krispy Kreme thing, I have to say something about that idea.
What?
When we first dated.
Yeah.
When we were first dating, I don't know if this is inappropriate, but like there was one night where we were like, let's go get a hotel when we were first dating.
Oh, that's right.
And you were like, yeah, let's get this hotel. And I got there before you. Mm-hmm. And when I checked in, I was like, oh, I'm here. And the lady at the front desk was like, great. Can we just get a credit card to put on file? And I was like, oh, he didn't give you a credit card. And he's like, well, no. I was like, yeah, no, that's fine. Just take my credit card. That's fine. No biggie. But it was like this very expensive hotel.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit like, oh, shit, what am I going to do? So we checked in and we had a great time and everything was great. And you had to go to work the next day. And I stayed a little bit longer. And then I went downstairs and I was just like, I'm out of the room, you know, just to let you know that you can, you know, send the housekeepers to clean the room. And the lady's like, great. Can you just sign the bill? Oh, no, no, no. Before she said that, I said, can I just ask you a real quick favor? And she said, sure. And I said, can you just, I had a Kit Kat out of the mini bar. Can I just pay you for that real quick so that it's not on the bill? I don't want him thinking, like, I didn't want you thinking that I'm like this girl, like eating Kit Kats. And I don't know. I thought it was embarrassing for some reason.
God's sakes.
And, but you'd be like looking at the bill and seeing what was ordered and be like, oh, there's a Kit Kat missing. So
like I would go, like, I gotta dump this bitch. A Kit Kat. Oh my God.
But I like whispered to her, I was like, could you take that off the bill and I'll just pay you for that separately? And she goes, well, actually, the whole thing is on your credit card. And I was like, what? The whole thing is on my credit card. And I said, he didn't. And she's like, I think he forgot.
Oh, God.
And, you know, I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. She's like, that's okay. I'll call him. I'm like, no, don't call him. Then I look like some cheapskate. Please don't call him. No, no, no. I'll do it. And then she told me the price of the room. And I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's like my rent for the whole month. Holy shit. But then I was in the back of my head thinking, you know what? I am going to marry this guy. Like, this is definitely the guy I'm going to marry. So, you know what? Just put it on my card. Not a big deal. Put it on my card. It'll come out in the wash at some point.
Yeah.
But I was like, I was so embarrassed about the Kit Kat. And then I was like, it was such a struggle for me to be, no, 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 please don't call him. Don't call him. I don't want to make a big deal out of it.
I'm thinking of Ally McGraw in tears going, love means that you'll pay for the hotel room yourself. So, that's so sweet.
It was pretty funny. Why did I start this conversation?
Krispy Kremes, baby.
Krispy Kreme.
And you sent me this weird, by the way, I would have never known about it. So it's almost like you were just like, you were clearly either feeling some guilt or feeling defensive about it. You're like, getting this.
Okay, fine. Whatever. Now that we're married, I could give a shit.
Exactly.
Like, I'm going to eat everything. Although I got to be honest with you. Wait, one more thing. there are times when I go through the McDonald's drive-thru occasionally, mm-hmm. and I'm like, I'm just going to pay in cash. I don't want it to be like McDonald's. I secretly want you to think I'm some health nut, even though you know clearly I'm so not.
Sweetie.
Okay, but back to Krispy Kreme, because that's where this all started. So there is no Krispy Kreme near us. It, like, you have to drive far to get to a Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, that's true. It's
there really
it's
isn't. But anyway, I was just randomly, for no reason, I was craving a Krispy Kreme. But really, I just wanted one or two, you know, at the most.
Right.
I really just wanted that. Like, if I had been driving by and saw a Krispy Kreme, I would have just walked in and been like, could I get a Krispy Kreme?
Yeah.
And that would have been the end of that. It would have been fine. But because I don't live anywhere near there and I had to be home for work and all these other things, I was like, can I Postmates this or can I whatever? Anyway, you can go to the Krispy Kreme website and you can order it and they'll deliver. But I'm thinking to myself, wow, that's a shitty thing for someone to have to deliver. Two donuts, they're like a dollar. And I was thinking to myself, I either give this guy like the biggest tip ever because I feel so terrible about
it.
Or like, you know, if you're going to spend that much money tipping the guy, you might as well just, you know, get a bunch of donuts.
Yeah.
So I got instead of two, I got a dozen. Still had to give the guy a major tip.
Because I tried to order Krispy Kreme and I just wanted to get a dozen glazed and I could not figure out on the app. Maybe I was looking at it wrong, but you can get like two glazed and then a bunch of they make you buy a variety. And I was like, I don't want the other stuff.
No, they don't. You can build your own box.
Okay.
Hey, did you know that you can do that with C's? This is not an ad for anyone. I don't know why we're talking about everything, but I didn't realize you could actually do that for C's as well. You could build your own box because there's only, you know, I'm not a nuts person.
Right.
I don't want like that cream filling that spills out. I'm like a heart. My dad used to say, you look at a C's candy box and you know the ones with the dome, you don't want those.
Okay.
Those have like a cherry and some goo that's going to spill out. I like the hard square ones.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So you you're not a fan of nuts or any kind of like white cream spurting out. Nothing like that. That's not your thing.
You're gross.
What? I'm just saying
I'm never.
You ordering Krispy Kreme.
No, I don't like that.
Okay.
Nope. I don't like that. I don't like nuts with cream spilling out.
This is
Oswald.
This is how. Okay. This is how.
My mother's listening to this fucking podcast. Oh, my God. Are you allowed
there you
to
go.
Say that on your podcast?
There you go.
Yeah. Nice swearing.
Yeah. Nice swearing, Natty.
Okay. Get back to the Krispy Kreme story.
Well,
anyway.
Okay. I was going to tell you a little sidebar off that, but go ahead. You ordered.
Oh, tell me a sidebar. Go ahead. Go ahead.
This is such a example of Meredith's Manchurian candidate problem. Manchurian candidate. One night, early on, we were dating, although I would still do this now.
I think we've told this story.
About the chocolate cake?
No. What's the chocolate cake story?
We were in bed, and you get a text from a friend nearby that's like, I just made this amazing chocolate cake. And then you started in on the most, I wish I had filmed it because it was gorgeous, the most passive-aggressive, like, kind of setup to... It's 10 p.m. Can you get in your clothes and drive over to my friend's house and get me this goddamn cake because I want it right now at 10 o'clock? And but you didn't just go, sweetie, here. Like, if you had just said it directly, I still would have done it. But you did this, like, God, she just made that cake. It tastes so good right when she makes it. I mean, it's just, she's in our neighborhood. You would only be driving. But you know what? It's 10 o'clock. You were doing this whole backwards and forwards until, and then I go.
And then you're looking at me and you're like, babe, do you want me to get you a piece of cake? I'm like, no, it's nighttime. It's 10 o'clock at night. No, of course not. No,
but
I don't
It was no different than the mechanics of like a couple of heroin junkies and the girl is like, I really need, is there any way You could just go down to Alphabet City and just
second.
Get me.
A, let me just it was, make you look like the better. You're just a better husband than that. So let me just like okay. say what actually happened. She's like, oh, I just, yeah, she texted me that she had made a chocolate cake. And she said, there's extra if you want to come by, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, tomorrow or whatever. And then I was just like, oh, man, Mandy just made this chocolate cake. I know
right.
that cake.
And now that's you wanted really it cake. Right and then, now. Yeah.
No. And I was just talking about it. And then you said, I said, she's only blocked. And you're like, I'll go get it for you. I'm like, no. You don't have to go get it for me. But like secretly, I was like, please
right
get it for
now.
Me.
Yeah.
And I think I gave off that energy while I was saying no. It's like that thing that I do when I'm at friends' houses. All of my friends are amazing hostesses. Amazing. I'm the worst.
Yeah.
Like, come to my house and here's a jug of water. No. But my friends are such good hostesses and everything's beautiful and everything's set up really well. And then when, you know, I'm like, can I help you with anything? Because that's the polite thing
yeah.
to say. You're supposed to say that.
Yeah.
And my friends are so great that I know they're going to say no, I've got it. But, you know, you do that thing where you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Can I help you with anything? And they're like, no, I've got it. And I'm like, oh, thank God. I don't want to fuck that.
But it was.
Yeah, I'm like, good answer.
But I so picked up the energy that of oh no, actually, I want cake at 10:30 at night on a weeknight. Because yeah. she just texted me the cake, the images in my head, I must have it right now. Like that, again, Manchurian yeah. candidate.
If I see it, I need it.
Yes. So
it's terrible.
And now we bring it back home with the Krispy Kreme thing. You get the box.
Anyway, I ordered a lot for the sake of the delivery guy. It wasn't for me. I just wanted one donut, but I didn't want the guy to not have enough money after he drove such a far way. So I ordered a lot of donuts.
What a great new excuse. And you ate half the box. Exactly. You just did the mom version of, let's just get some fries for the table, for everyone. Oh, no, none of us want it. We're fine.
And then eat.
Well, then let's just get, you might want some. And then she just eats them all.
But don't you agree with me that for something so cheap like a donut,
oh, absolutely,
it's rude
yes.
for someone to have to send it to you, so you have to tip them like $50 or something?
So that, yeah, you always make sure, especially on like those crazy craving orders, I always make sure to give that guy hazard pay, because that's a bummer to drive a friggin' donut over to the valley for some lazy
some
idiot.
Girl that, who's just yeah. like, I have a craving.
Yeah, look, I've done that too. I've ordered like one thing that I want. I'm like, okay, this guy's got to get something good because... That was ridiculous. This is.
Did I tell you the Krispy Kreme story the first time I ever had it anyway?
Yes. I think you told it on this yeah. show. I can't remember, but yeah, it was.
Oh, I might have told it on this show, where it's like hot.
Yeah, that story is exactly like how Krispy Kreme works on people, like how you become converted.
It's like pure crap.
It is. It's just, oh.
I mean, it's straight up delicious, melty sugar. It's the greatest thing ever. And by the way, life hack, if you get a Krispy Kreme donut, if you just put it in the microwave for like 9 seconds,
yeah.
it's like straight out the box
God
if you're at the
so
store.
Good.
Okay, let's stop talking about food and move on to the next topic. We'll
let's
right
take
back.
A break.
Hey, everybody, we're back. Patton, you just sent me something. Tell me what that's all
well,
about.
Well, the footage is now online of a 53-year-old naked Florida woman who is...
Oh, of course. Florida woman.
Florida woman.
Florida man.
Trashing, and I mean wrecking, an Outback Steakhouse and Moji Grill in Ocala, Florida. And then she gets tasered in the stomach.
Tased
in the stomach. Should be in your text. But this woman is just... methodically going about destroying this. By the way, it looks pretty good for 53.
I'm playing it. Listen.
Damn.
She's breaking everything. She's standing on a counter. She's throwing bottles.
But she's doing it like she's kind of serene and calm about it. I mean, yeah, she's breaking things, but she's just sort of quietly.
She's completely naked, standing on a bar, throwing all the bottles and all the glasses.
Everything.
And just breaking them.
And now, hang on.
What's wrong with this woman?
Uh-oh, here comes the cop. Got his taser. She's throwing stuff at him.
Oh my God, she's so naked. She actually has a really nice body. Look at
I
that
know.
Girl. She should be a model.
53.
Look
it's
at her
good.
Boobs. They're perfect.
And then.
Like she must do yoga.
Something. And now.
I mean, she's clearly
boom.
Destroying the thing.
Tasers her.
53 seconds in. Wait, baby, I'm not there
okay.
yet. I'm at 56 seconds.
Oh, sorry.
the fact that she's naked and not stepping on glass and hurting herself is
beyond. I know, it's insane. She's just so calmly, it's like the ASMR version of trashing a place.
Oh, she's about to get tased. Oh, shit. Oh, right in the stomach. Oh, oh. Wow. That's hot. Wow.
It's
that's
just
gnarly.
I'm just saying it's weird when you see people that are, and I've seen this too with like, you'll see like a homeless drug addict, but you're like, God, their body looks amazing. Like, how does that, you know?
Was that your thought? Because that was my thought.
Yeah, I was stunned that this is clearly a crazy person who looks great. She looks very, very yeah. healthy. Like, what the?
She should get like a commercial after this. You know, all these people become famous from these ridiculous viral videos. And what if she like gets a show?
Or she's like,
I'm sitting here like, can I get a show?
She's like,
and then this girl.
Where did I get this body?
Taser, from, naked tased girl.
Yeah, the naked taser workout. You trash a place for 20 minutes, then they tase you, and it cinches up all your muscles, and then you get really...
I was literally just going to say, if you get tased in the stomach, that'll create some abs.
Looks good. You're looking good.
So, I feel like I should do that. Tase me, bro.
Oh, my God. Taser size. We do taser size. You just go in. The police tase you for, like, 10 minutes. You go, it's like isometrics. Then you come out. You're all toned. Taser size.
Yeah, that's hot. She never showed her face. You couldn't really see her face. No. It was like the side view or the back view. But boy, does she have a nice.
Well, she's got that like Marsha Brady hair, just like kind of flat and
yeah.
hanging
like
down.
1970s.
Kind of. Very 1970s. But wow.
Yeah.
I mean, not good for her. You shouldn't be doing that. But yeah.
No, she's crazy. Like legit.
Yeah.
But that's got to hurt, like getting tased in the
right
stomach
in the
completely
stomach.
Naked.
Jesus.
Like. Are they like prongs that go into you?
I think so.
A needle?
Well, there's some kind of taser where you got to press it against the person. The other ones, they shoot the darts, right?
And then they stick to you.
Well, because they have...
It's like a fishing
hook. I think they have like barbs at the end so that they stay in your skin.
Oh my God, that is terrifying. I hate that. And I never, ever want to get tased.
Well,
although, if it was a great workout... <I'm just
kidding. laughs> Taser size. Oh, I'm sorry, tase bow. Instead of tie bow, tase bow.
Tase bow?
Billy Blanks, tase bow. And he comes and tases you. No? All right.
No. Oh, my gosh. Wait, that makes me think of something.
Oh, God.
So if I had been there.
Yeah.
No, but like, Norm, I just read this article. I think I actually sent it to
you.
Yeah,
and I got it. Yeah.
Small talk.
Yeah, small talk.
And how since the coronavirus, mm-hmm. nobody really, there's no small talk anymore.
Yeah.
Like, small talk is supposed to function as a crucial, this is what it says. Mm-hmm. A crucial social ritual. It's a way to grease the wheels. Like, chit-chat among coworkers
right.
is gone now because everybody's home. So you don't get that water cooler time.
Yeah.
Now everybody's just, like, texting each other. And it's really all just, like, let's get down to business. I'll talk to you Friday at 6. We're going to talk about this. There's no chit-chat. Like, hey, man, I like your shirt.
Right.
Hey, how are you? And that kind of stuff is, like, lighthearted, superficial, polite, scripted conversation. Mm-hmm. And when I say scripted, it's like everybody knows the appropriate default phrase that you're supposed like, how are you? I'm fine. How is the day? Oh, it's hot out, man. Like everybody knows the social construct, right?
Right. Yeah.
And it's sort of like a way to recharge yourself when you have chit chat. And it's a way to like build community.
It's like morning pages. Yeah, you're right. It's like a workout. Oh, yeah.
So you're walking down the street. Did we talk about this already?
I think we did.
And
know.
I was like, oh my God, I love your shirt. Oh, your dog's so cute. Oh, that baby. There's like this missing small talk that people have. And especially at work, mm-hmm. when you're actually in the office, you have lunch. You have times. You go to the bathroom. You walk by someone's desk and you're like, hey, how's your grandma's, you know, mm-hmm. 80th anniversary? And that stuff's gone. And so apparently productivity goes down if you don't have that recharge.
Oh,
like those times to just put the serious stuff away and like, and also what the article said, which I thought was so interesting, yeah. it levels the playing field. Like when you're at work and you're the boss, you're the head of the company,
yeah.
and then like you're just the secretary, like there's like a power dynamic there. Mm-hmm. But if you're at the water cooler and you're both like, oh, did you see Mad Men last night?
Mm-hmm.
They're both just talking about the same thing. They can have equal opinions. Right? And, it's like also a leveling of a playing field.
It's an equalizer because you're like, oh, we both need a drink of water. We both need a snack. Or like it humanizes people.
No,
because we're both meeting on this. Fine. We have this thing in common. Like, oh, of course we'd come in to get a snack. It's 11 a.m. I need something.
Right, but it's the chit-chat version that happens during those moments.
Action and the chit-chat, yeah. No, I know exactly what you're saying. Although
And people lose that. And you can't schedule a time to chit-chat with someone. No. You can't be like, hey, let's chit-chat tomorrow. And then you get on the phone and you're like, how's the weather where you are?
It has to happen organically. It just has to happen.
No, it has to be spontaneous.
Yeah, that was...
And it...
Go ahead.
What?
No, I remember... No, I can't remember the specific article about how... There were a lot of cities back in the 80s that were very much D.C., Washington, D.C., I remember very distinctly, where it was a city that's open for business. At 9 a.m., things open. At 5 p.m., things shut down. Go back home to the suburbs. And everything is about you go in, you purchase something, or you go in and you do work. And what people, city planners started to realize was, no, you actually need places that are just hangs, like a Starbucks or a record store where you can just wander around and not have to specifically buy anything. Part of spurning entrepreneurs and creativity is to have the hang. So now when they plan cities, they try to like put in things or encourage businesses that encourage like a hang. That's why Starbucks is all about, hey, you can rent a table all day for the price of a small coffee. Don't be a dick about it. But we understand that sometimes you just need that time. It was what I was talking about with diners. You just need to sit in a diner and just think. So you need the hang. You just need places where there's a hang. Or a place where, you know, I can go into this bookstore and I'm not, there isn't that weird unspoken pressure of like, well, buy a book or get out of here. Like sometimes I just want to look at the different covers and just.
Oh, it's a browser.
Yeah, let my mind go. You need that really, really badly. And that was what was driving me crazy with coronavirus.
Oh, I love that. Remember, where were we when we went to that bookstore and we were sitting there and then you like, took a picture of you were like looking through the stacks spying on me and you took a little picture of me reading a book.
That was up in Seattle. Great bookstore, Elliott Bay Books. And that place was designed for sit down, read a book, maybe buy it, maybe don't. Take your time. Like that.
Yeah, I love that
place. Oh, so great. That's one thing.
I want to go to a bookstore.
Yeah, me too. That was one thing I remember back in the 90s, somebody, because I would go to Golden Apple every Wednesday and buy my comics. I just go get my comics. And you would just see a lot of famous people in there. You'd see Samuel L. Jackson and Nick Cage and Kevin Smith and, you know, Paul Stanley, because that's the one thing that people will not send their assistants in to do. No, is yes, I have my list of comics that I know I want to get. It's Wednesday. But what if I happen to see something and it just like you? So that's the I always tell people, if you want to, your best chance at spotting celebrities is go to a comic book store on a Wednesday when new comics are out, because it's the one thing they will not.
There's a certain kind of celebrity.
But and also it's a good
because to all the civilians who don't read comic books or know anything about it, I was incredibly shocked to know that you read so many comic books, and even more shocked that you have a Wednesday haul of like a huge stack of comic books, and you have like a subscription.
Well, I have a pull list. Like
talking to my friends, like, holy shit, you guys, Patton's a fucking nerd, man. he's super into comic books. But since I've been married to you, I've really found the beauty and understanding of the graphic novel.
Yeah.
And I for a minute I was really worried that Alice was reading. She was super into graphic novels, and I was like, you got to read a real book. Mm-hmm. You got to read a classic. Here's Black Stallion. Read that. Here, you know, I wanted to give her like Little Women, and she does read those too.
Yeah.
But she was also reading graphic novels, and I was super worried, like, oh no, is this rudimentary? Is this too childish? But I got a letter from the school that was talking about the summer reading list this summer. Mm-hmm. And they talked about graphic novels, and they were saying, actually, it makes you utilize two portions of your brain. It's not just when you're reading a book, there's like this imagination that goes on. And when you're reading a graphic novel, there's like an art thing and a spatial thing. It's very fascinating. Yeah. I don't remember everything from the from the letter because, you know.
And what's also great is like, as she gets older, I know that there are certain graphic novels I can introduce to her. There's some she can obviously read now. DC does great young adult graphic novels where they'll use like Catwoman or Robin, but they'll use it in a way to talk about other issues that, like, kids are dealing with. That's how they smuggle it in. Mm-hmm. But then when she's fascinated with World War II and the Holocaust, so when she's in college, I can go, read Maus. If you really want to know what the Holocaust is about, read Maus. It won the friggin'
M-A-U-S or M-O-U-S-E?
M-A-U-S. It won the Pulitzer Prize. Yeah. It's one of the best narratives about the Holocaust ever written.
Is it a graphic novel?
Yes. It's incredible. It's one of those things that I read it and then read it again like 10 years later. It's not something that you can reread immediately because it really punches you in the gut and you're like, okay, I just read that. I need to take a breather for a second. And then you go back and look at it again, and it's just brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. And he used the graphic novel format to tell one of the most disturbing depictions of the Holocaust I've ever read, ever.
Do you have it downstairs?
Yes.
Is it in the house?
Yeah, it's in the house.
Where?
In my shelf of graphic novels. If you go in and make a look to your left immediately, it's up on the shelf.
Oh, I'll go. Should I read it?
Yes, you would love. If you like Jojo Rabbit, wait till you read Maus.
Jojo Rabbit is seriously one of my favorite movies.
But it's another one of those things where it's like, you can't depict the Holocaust this way. Yeah, actually, you can. There's a million ways to tell these stories. Maus, when you find out how he does it, but again.
Oh my God, don't spoil it. Did 6 million Jews die?
No, God. Ugh. Stay off of Wikipedia. what I'm saying is the format that he uses and the way he depicts it artistically is something that if you'd heard the pitch, you're like, you cannot do that, but it works brilliantly. And I'm not going to...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Everyone does.
Maus is one of those books that everyone should eventually read in their lives. It was... Time was their, 100 best books of the century. It was on that list. Novels.
Wow.
Yeah. That and Watchmen, which I wish you would sit down and read because you love the TV show.
Dude, I watched Watchmen.
No, that was Damon Lindelof. That's 30 years after the original graphic novel Watchmen.
Oh,
it's a whole different story.
All that stuff was after that?
All of it was after that.
Hmm.
And you'll see who Rorschach was.
Well, I was a psychology major, so I know who Rorschach is.
But the way that they do it in this thing is pretty amazing. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Well, another quick little small talk story. This is, I remember I was watching some interview with Shirley MacLaine, and she talked about how much she hates small talk, and she calls it smalk. That's how much she hates it. She goes, I hate small talk. I call it smalk. And then 2 weeks later, I was doing a table read, and she was at the table read, and I so wanted to, like, talk to her about Ermila Deutsch and The Apartment, and, because I had just seen an interview where she goes, I hate small talk, so I didn't say anything to her. I got so intimidated.
But small talk is like, that's not small talk. Small talk is, that would have been great, babe. So I read this about you, and I would love to hear your thoughts. That's not small talk.
I just, she gave off such a forbidding vibe that I didn't dare approach her.
First of all, she's one of my all-time favorite actresses.
Yeah, oh, she's amazing.
I'm obsessed with her.
It's so weird watching, like, Ocean's 11, and there she is. You're like, oh, there's Shirley MacLaine. Because that's right, because she hung out with Frank and all those guys. And she's just walking by like, hey, guys, how you doing? And just is so friggin' cute. Ugh.
Yeah, she's the cutest thing alive.
Good God.
When she was young with her little short pixie haircut and her little face and her just
Who's her brother?
Warren Beatty. Yeah.
I only recently found that out.
No,
I have
people
no
don't know
idea.
That. Some people know
it's like,
that.
What the hell? I have brother and sister.
Yeah, my brother's Matt Damon. Most people don't know that.
My brother's Dave Bautista.
So, baby, when I said that when I found out that you read so many comic books, and then I called my friends and I'm like, you guys, he's such a nerd. What do I? And so I'm just wondering, I know girls chat amongst each other about everything. Like, girls talk about everything. Girls share everything. Best friend girls share everything. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just wondering, boys don't do that, do they? Like, you don't call up Blaine Kapach and be like, oh my God, Meredith did this. No, you don't do that.
Well, we talk about things more in general, like, oh, we had a disagreement about this whole thing, but it's not in this gossipy, like, Meredith is so crazy. What am I supposed to do? It's more of this resigned, like, yeah, we had this big disagreement and we're probably going to, you know, but no, there isn't that, like.
We're probably going to what? That sounded like divorce right there, baby.
No,
we're probably
like,
going to what?
We're probably going to be, we're probably going to be icy for a couple days and then we're going to make up, you know, like that kind of thing. But we don't do that, like, sewing circle, gossipy, chatty thing as much
like,
as we do.
Oh my God, did you know? You know?
I mean, we, yeah. Although I will say comedians do that. And I am on a, on a text thread with a bunch of my comedian friends, and oh my God, the chattiness and the gossipiness about stuff is, ugh, it's ridiculous. It's like sex.
But
it's
then
like,
you guys just do threads and you just make jokes about everything and you each try to one-up each other on the jokes, which is actually quite funny, and it's a great thread.
Yeah, that's part of it. But also there is a lot of like, oh my God, look what this one's doing now. And it is very, it's like Sex in the City, but even bitchier if you can imagine it.
Oh, I can imagine it. I fought with you.
Yeah.
Pat, this was really fun talking to you. I love you so much, and hopefully I'll see you sometime in the near future.
Yeah, you know, let's make plans in the fall.
Hey, you guys, thank you for listening. This was super fun, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Have a good day. This podcast is a production of Meredith Salinger and Patton Oswalt.
In association with Starburns Audio. Executive producers are Cliff Dorfman and Jason Smith. And if you have questions for us, send them to...
Hey, did you get my text? At gmail.com. And don't forget, subscribe to this podcast. It's free, and it helps us get to keep making the show.